ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Thank you and welcome to It's Kind of Silicon Valley. Those of you who have braved it coming on the freeways, it's very dangerous to be out and about in the material world anywhere. But you've come here all the way. And those of you who have joined online, taking your hard-earned money to invest in electronic equipment so that you can stay connected to the transcendental vibration, and have organized your life around this principle. So by taking shelter of the holy names every day, we can make a progress in spiritual life, especially in the mood of surrender. The mood of submission is the root cause of advancement in spiritual life, from whatever background or spiritual tradition one is from, if one is submissive to the Supreme and is very sincere about making advancement towards God, then the Lord, who is within the heart, within every atom, and who knows everything and everyone, who is the benefactor of everyone, will reveal himself. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. If somebody worships me with love, then I give him or her the intelligence by which he or she can come to me. So spiritual life is nothing complicated, but it's based on surrender, submission, and sincerity. Hey, that's three S's.
I feel a new sweatshirt coming on. Surrender, submission, and sincerity.
And one of the ways that we can chant the holy names of God is loudly, like we just did. Of course, there are songs written by the great saints. And anyone who's anyone knows that by singing these songs, one will feel immediate connection to the spiritual plane. And there's another way in which one may regularly connect to the Lord, and that's through japa. So here are a few tips on chanting japa every day in order to be successful. And these are suggestions given by the founder Acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This first is a quote that is not specifically about japa, but it is about chanting Hare Krishna. And this one is entitled Forced Meditation. Do you like to meditate? You do? Does your mind like to meditate? Or would it rather look at your smartphone? Which? Okay. So in that case, anybody whose mind would rather look at the smartphone needs forced meditation. This is from a conversation in 1968, in October, if you can place yourself there near His Divine Grace, as He's giving this instruction, and He says to you, the yoga system is approved, but nobody can follow the rules and regulations strictly. Neither there is suitable place for executing it. And everyone is always full of anxiety, so how can they concentrate? So best thing is to chant Hare Krishna, which is forced meditation. So if one utilizes one's tongue and ears and chants Hare Krishna, then the power of the holy name will help to overcome the restless mind. And this is highly recommended in the Shastra, that one constantly chant Hare Krishna and take shelter of the holy name. Chanting Hare Krishna sincerely means taking shelter of the holy name. And if one does this, then it forces the mind. In fact, it's hardly force at all, because when the mind naturally hears the vibration of the holy name, then it will become attracted. And then it becomes entranced, just like a snake that here's you playing a little bagpipe, and then the snake becomes charmed by the sound. So similarly, the mind can become charmed by the sound of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The second quotation comes from 1969, 16th June. And Srila Prabhupada says, regarding your last question about the ecstatic symptoms of chanting Hare Krishna, you should know that the Hare Krishna mantra has an equal effect upon all devotees. Just like the sunshine has an equal effect on everyone. But when one is covered, the sunshine has a different effect. Similarly, the influence of the Hare Krishna mantra becomes manifest when one is no longer covered by the 10 offenses to chanting. The more we become free from the 10 offenses, the more the effect of chanting becomes manifested through us. Everyone can become a great devotee, being freed from the 10 offenses simply by one's determination and effort. So, the 10 offenses are as follows. The first offense is to speak ill of the devotees, of the Lord. And if you don't have anything good to say, then just don't say it at all. Unless you're teaching your student and you're giving some practical advice. And by speaking ill of devotees, then Krishna becomes displeased, and your potency to chant Hare Krishna will be greatly diminished. It's an offense to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name. The second offense is consider the names of other gods, devas, to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. So Krishna's position is that he's the source of all the other demigods. And if one thinks they're on an equal level, and it's the same to chant Durga, Durga, Shiva, Shiva, and so forth, as is popular nowadays, same thing, because ultimately everything's one, then this is also an offense to the holy name. Third offense is disobey the orders of the spiritual master, or consider him to be an ordinary person. And the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, just as your postal deliverer is the representative of the U.S. government. And if you slam the door on his hand, you're going to jail. The fourth offense is a blasphemy of the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Although one may see that in the Vedas there are various descriptions of different kinds of worship, the Vedas are a big project and they're accommodating various kinds of people. So one should not speak ill of the various parts of the Vedic literature. And Prabhupada extends that in one commentary, saying that one shouldn't criticize any scriptures that are glorifying God. The fifth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be imaginary, and thinking this is simply some exaggeration. It's not exaggeration. Everything that's said in the Shastra about the holy name is 100% true. There are sometimes in Shastra inducements for people to take up processes or practices. But in no case is the glorification of the holy name exaggeration or considered imagination. The sixth offense is give some mundane interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. It's simply non-different from the Lord. And any kind of description of what the holy name of the Lord is already there in the Shastra. One doesn't need to come up with any extra interpretations. Seventh offense is to think that since chanting Hare Krishna eradicates sinful activities, that once I start chanting, I'm at liberty to perform sinful activities because if I go on chanting, they'll be nullified. And therefore, I can live this kind of life of taking advantage of the holy name. This is very offensive towards the holy name. The eighth offense is consider chanting Hare Krishna to be just like the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, where you're doing it to get some mundane result. The ninth offense is to teach the holy name to people who are completely faithless. They don't believe in it. And if you go on trying to teach it to them in detail, then you'll make an offense. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra and to hold on to material attachments. And this is, in the process of surrender, one should incrementally accept things which are favorable, give up things which are unfavorable. One should consider oneself meek and humble. One should was it accepting things that are favorable, rejecting things which are unfavorable, then? Yeah, and then considering that Krishna is one's only protector and maintainer. And so Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya neha sharanam pitarao nishringha nartasya chaganam udanbati majato nyao taptasya tat prati vidir yari hanjasheshtas taavad vibhotanu vritam twarupekshitanam. That everything depends on Krishna. Even if you take medicine in Ayurveda, ashaudi achintayat, you have to, Vishnu chintayat, you have to say that before you take the medicine, that the effectiveness depends on Vishnu, then you take. But it won't work if Vishnu doesn't invest his potency in it. You can take all the medicine in the world, it won't work. So Prahlad Maharaj says that parents may try to save their children. They do everything they possibly can to take care of their children. Or a person may go out to save a drowning man on a boat, or a doctor may give medicine to a patient. But unless the Lord sanctions it, it won't work. So one should consider always that my life is dependent on the Supreme. And when one chants with this feeling of dependence on Krishna, that doctors can't save me, my parents can't save me, if it's not destined by Krishna, the boat on water can't save me, only Krishna can save me. And so one should be in this mood of surrender in chanting Krishna, and also that Krishna is my maintainer, that he's the one behind my salary. It's arranged by him. Whatever there is, whatever maintenance is coming by him, by his mercy. And Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, yadrishya labha santushto, that one should learn to be satisfied with gain that comes by providence. You can do your duty diligently, but realize that you won't get more than you deserve and you won't get less than you deserve either. So you should be dutiful and accept the kind of things that Krishna sends to you. And finally, there's an admonition in the 10 offenses, which is bonus, number 10.B, which is that one should not be inattentive while chanting. Because by the opposite of love is not hate, the opposite of love is indifference. And if one is indifferent while chanting, which means to be inattentive and not thinking about one's connection to the holy name, and that one's chanting out of feeling of surrender, and bringing one's mind back to the process of chanting, and not becoming distracted. If one is allows oneself to be regularly distracted and doesn't come back to the chanting, then one will become offensive in the process of chanting, and one won't get the result, which then will cause one to think that chanting Hare Krishna is imagination, and that it's also an exaggeration. Because I'm not experiencing it, I'll think this is just some passing phase, and I should go on with my life deeply absorbed in Maya. And Maya will attract one back into her clutches. In fact, even any spiritual practice, unless renewed every day, unless I remember every day the sweetness of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and how fortifying it is, then I may start to think that there are more important literatures in the world, which there are not. So, Prabhupada here again, I'll read this one more time for our benefit. And this one's entitled Determination and Effort. What was the first one called? Forced Meditation. We could introduce that in the corporate world. Forced meditation. And the second is called Determination and Effort. From 1969, Prabhupada writes, regarding your last question about the ecstatic symptoms of chanting Hare Krishna, you should know that the Hare Krishna mantra has an equal effect upon all devotees. Just like the sunshine has an equal effect on everyone, but when it is covered, the sunshine has a different effect. Similarly, the influence of the Hare Krishna mantra becomes manifest when one is no longer covered by the 10 offenses to chanting. The more we become free from the 10 offenses, the more the effect of chanting becomes manifested through us. Everyone can become a great devotee, being freed from the offenses 100% simply by one's determination and effort. What's that one called? Try it again. Correct. Third one is entitled, Everything Will Be Revealed One After Another. Please repeat. Everything will be revealed one after another. Everything will be revealed one after another. Everything will be revealed one after another. So, in spiritual life, you'd like something to be revealed, wouldn't you? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want to stay on the outside. You don't want to be an outsider and just practice and feel like I'm practicing. Everyone else is getting a taste. They're seeing something, but I'm not getting anything. And therefore, boo-hoo and woe is me. So we want things to be revealed one after another, don't we?
Yes.
Now you want me to read the paragraph, don't you?
Yes.
To see how it's revealed one after another. Here's how it works. 1970. When we chant, we must concentrate our mind on the sound vibration, and in that way, everything will be revealed one after another. The form, the qualities, pastimes, etc. of the Lord. And this is the way of cultivating spiritual realization. Now I have a question for all of you and everybody online. What is the way of spiritual realization? You're all locked and loaded and ready to go. Okay, pass the microphone. Let's hear what you got to say. Try to keep it in the context of this last paragraph. I'm going to ask you the question again. What is the way of cultivating spiritual realization according to this letter from 1970 written by His Divine Grace? Yes. Sudhir Madhava.
To chant attentively, and then gradually everything will be revealed, and so we'll have spiritual realizations.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say about that last paragraph? Yes.
When we chant, we should focus on the sound vibration. And slowly, when we put our attention, the pastimes, everything will be relieved.
Can that be done? Can one focus on the sound vibration? How might one do that? What two qualities might one have to be able to focus on the sound vibration and there? Shredder's fired up. She knows what it is. Go ahead. But she wants Mukhartavind to have all the glory. So go ahead.
Determination and effort.
Determination and effort. So it requires some determination and effort to what? Concentrate one's mind on the sound vibration. This is this key to all success in spiritual life, right here. And this is in the formula. I'm going to read it again. When we chant, we must concentrate our mind on the sound vibration, and in that way, everything will be revealed one after another. The form, the qualities, pastimes, etc. of the Lord. And this is the way of cultivating spiritual realization. Okay, now I have a quiz for you. When we chant, if we concentrate our mind on the sound vibration, some things will be revealed. True or false?
Yes.
Huh? True or false? Okay. Only a few things will be revealed. Does that help you, Sudhir Madhava? Okay, he should be a paralegal. Okay, so false. Everything will be revealed, but how does it come? How will it be revealed? One after another. One after another. And here are some of the things that are revealed. The form. So can you hear the form? Can you see the form from chanting Hare Krishna? Will you see the form of Shyama Sundar? Prove it. Through Shastra. Sudhir's in the hot seat tonight. He's got two mics coming at him. Okay, go ahead.
Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Navavin Graham Indriye Sevon Mukhe Jivado Swayamevas Phrati Adaham. So chanting of the holy names cannot be performed by our mundane senses, but starting with our tongue, if as a service to Sri Guru we chant, then Krishna's name, pastimes, form, everything will be revealed.
Judges, you accept it?
Yes.
If you accept it, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, anyone else? Prove that by just concentrating your mind on this vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, that the form of the Lord will be revealed. That's very specific. Give me one more verse. I have one in my mind. If you can do a mind meld. It's from the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second to the last verse. It will be revealed to you also in just a minute. By sound vibration, it will be revealed. That will be verse 33, I believe. So I believe there's 34 verses in the chapter. Oh my goodness. I meant to say, first canto, fifth chapter. 38th verse. 1, 5, 38. Everyone say.
1, 5, 38. 1, 5, 38. 1, 5, 38.
I'll say, please repeat. Iti murtyabhidanena. Mantra murtim amurtikam. Yajate yagya purusham. Sasamyak darshana puman. Synonyms. Iti. Thus. Murti. Representation. Abhidhanena. In sound. Mantra murtim. Form representation of transcendental sound. Amurtikam, the Lord who has no material form. Yajite, worship. Yajna, Vishnu. Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Sa, he alone. Samyak, perfectly. Darshana, one who has seen. Puman, person. Translation. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships the form, in the form of transcendental sound representation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Our present senses are all made of material elements, and therefore they are imperfect in realizing the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. He is therefore worshipped by sound representation via the transcendental method of chanting. Anything which is beyond the scope of experience by our imperfect senses can be realized fully by the sound representation. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. If this is materially possible, why not spiritually? This experience is not a vague, impersonal experience. It is actually an experience of the transcendental personality of Godhead, who possesses the pure form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. In the Amarakosh Sanskrit dictionary, the word murti carries import in twofold meanings, namely form and difficulty. Which are the twofold meanings? Therefore, a murtikam is explained by Acharya Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as meaning without difficulty. The transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras, or transcendental sound representations. Such sound should be received from the transparent agency of the bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master. That will gradually lead us nearer to the Lord. This method of worship is recommended in the Panchratrik system, which is both recognized and authorized. The Panchratrik system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. The Pancharatrik system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age. See, I knew we belonged in Silicon Valley, because we're here coding. We get these transcendental codes and we're employing them in different ways, or we're worshiping them more appropriately, and we're also distributing them. We're just like other companies, only we argue that our codes are better than others. We think our codes are better than Google's codes, we would argue, because they bring an auspicious result. There's a lot of coding going on around here, isn't there? Yes. Say yes.
Yes.
And so this organization is also doing coding, and we're teaching it to everyone. And this verse proves that by having the correct transcendental codes, that one can see the form of the Lord. Iti murti abhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam. Yachite yagya purusham sasamyag darshanapuman. Darshanapuman means you can have the complete darshan, the complete vision of the Lord. How? By the sound representation. And that's amurtikam. Amurti means, it means form and it means difficulty. And amurtikam means without difficulty you can do this. So this is some shastric proof of Prabhupada's statement, which I'll read one more time. When we chant, when do you all chant? When do you all chant? All day long, right? We must concentrate our mind on the sound vibration, and that way everything will be revealed one after another. The form, the qualities, pastimes, etc. of the Lord. And in this way, and this is the way of cultivating spiritual realization. This is the way of cultivating spiritual realization. Is there any other way? Let me ask you three times. Is there any way? Is there any other way? Is there any other way? And you answer me three times. No other way from what? Three times. Chanting the holy names. I'll try it. Let's try it again. Is there any other way? Is there any other way? Is there any other way? Well, what is the way? Correct. Now I'm going to read you the statement again. When we chant, we must concentrate our mind. What must we do with our mind when we chant? Okay. Here's what we do with our mind. When we chant, we should A, look at our smartphone. B, read the newspaper. 3, think about something else, like Uncle Dilip. Or D, we should concentrate our mind on the holy name. Which one is it? Oh, I thought you said B. Okay, when we chant, and when do we chant? All day long. We must blank our mind on the sound vibration.
Concentrate.
Correct. Look up the word concentrate so we find out what we're supposed to do. We must concentrate our mind on the sound of the holy name. Now this is important because in this one short paragraph we're finding out the way of cultivating spiritualization. We're onto something over here at 1965 Latham Street. It looks like a small, innocuous little place. You can barely find it. It's smaller than Google. But we have the process for cultivating spiritual realization. And what does concentration mean, Shraddhadevi Dasi? Here comes the mic. It's right to your right-hand side, right behind you. The pause is just for dramatic effect.
The action or power of focusing one's attention.
The what? Say
the
it again.
Action or power.
The action or power Go ahead.
Of focusing one's attention.
Of focusing one's attention.
Or mental effort.
Or mental effort.
Dealing with one particular thing.
Dealing above, with one particular thing.
Above all others.
Above all others.
Yeah, the other meanings also, but not.
Okay, and where does the word come from?
It doesn't give the.
You'll have to look up concentrate.
Concentrate, yeah, that's what I'm doing. The origin of the word concentrate is mid-17th century. In the sense, bring towards a center.
Bring towards a center. Everyone say, bring towards a center.
Bring towards a center.
And what language is it from?
It's a Latinized form of concentre, or from French, concentre, which means to concentrate. Sense one of the verb dates from the early 20th century.
Please read the meaning again, because it was very helpful. Don't you all think? Okay, here's what it means to concentrate. And I'm going to read the sentence again so we know what we're looking at. When we chant, we must concentrate our mind on the sound vibration, and in that way everything will be revealed one after another.
Concentration means the action or power of focusing one's attention or mental effort. Dealing with one particular thing above all others.
One more time.
The action or power of focusing one's attention or mental effort. Dealing with one particular thing above all others. That was the meaning of concentration.
One more time.
Okay. The action or power of... The action or power of focusing one's attention or mental effort. Dealing with one particular thing above all others.
I really like that. Dealing with one thing above all others. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nam bina kichu nahi ko oro. Chota bhuvanamaje. There's nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds but the holy name. It means you put it above all others. There's nothing else. And one gives mental effort in order to keep one's mind focused. And it's a practice. You have to develop the power of focus. It requires some power to do that. It's a kind of a muscle. Okay, thank you. Now the last one, Prabhupada writes in 1972, it's a letter. And it's to Mohanananda, February 27th, 1972. Where were all of you in February 27th, 1972? Shraddha was at school. Where were you, Sri Antariksha? How do you know you weren't born? You were born somewhere else. The best remedy, here it is, the best remedy, look up remedy, the best remedy is to sit down very tightly and chant Hare Krishna very loudly and hear for a long time until he feels himself one-minded and fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. Instructions for attaining the perfection of life right before your ears. Here it is again. The best remedy is to sit down very tightly and chant Hare Krishna very loudly and hear for a long time until he feels himself one-minded and fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. It's almost like a poem. What does remedy mean?
Remedy is a medicine or treatment for a disease or injury.
Very good. It's a medicine and or a treatment. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song, Jeev Jago, he says that this is Ashaudi Maya. It's the medicine that relieves us of illusion. And so this is very important medicine that one must take in order to be relieved from the spell of illusion. And then, sit down very tightly. What does that mean? What does it mean to sit down very tightly? you say?
Sit upright and straight.
Okay, what else does it mean to sit tightly? What other meanings does it have?
Without
direct or indirect? Yes, go ahead.
Without moving too much.
Without moving too much? These are very literal points. Yes?
Complete priority or focus on the activity.
Priority of focus? Yeah. Is that your phrase? Priority of focus? That's pretty nice. Priority of focus, to sit down tightly. What else? What kind of things do you sit down tightly for, usually? Job interview?
Putting all attention towards it.
Putting all attention. Okay, so one has to sit down very tightly and chant Hare Krishna very loudly. So we have the two words here, tightly and loudly, with varies before them. Very tightly and very loudly. This is the remedy. So the remedy is to sit down very tightly and chant very loudly. Right? Okay, then he goes on. And here, for a long time. Here for a long time. So someone tell me some of the elements in this instruction. Okay, use the mic.
Sit tightly.
Very tightly.
Very tightly.
And what else?
Chanting very loudly.
Go ahead.
Chanting very loudly.
You should sit very tightly and chant very loudly. And then what's the third one?
Here for a long time.
And here for a long time. Yes. Sit very tightly, chant very loudly, and hear for a long time. Now, what will happen when you do that? How long should you chant for?
Until long.
It said there's an until. After a long time, there's a comma, and then there's an until. So you have to wait for this click to happen in your meditation, right? When that little click comes in your head. Are you ready for it? Until he feels himself one-minded. So how long do you sit tightly, chant loudly, and what's a long time? Until you feel yourself what?
One-minded.
Have you ever felt one-minded? What do you think Prabhupada's meaning? What is his meaning here? And can you give some personal realization or shastra? And let's pass the microphone back to Satyadev Prabhu. If you want to talk about this, or you can jump in at another time. But I'd be interested to hear if you can give us some direction on what it means to be one-minded.
It means the mind is focused on one thing, which is the sound vibration of the Hare Krishna mantra, or the mind. When the mind is focused on one thing, then that means there's no thoughts about the past or the future. There's just the awareness of what's ever occurring right now, which if you're chanting is the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra.
Thank you. That was simple and straightforward. And so are these instructions as well. So Prabhupada comments in a discussion he's having that he noticed, he said, although the process is very simple, chanting Hare Krishna, he says, I've noticed that my disciples are collecting many austere books. There's one simple process through which one can make advancement. Obviously, we have nothing against books. But Prabhupada defined austere books because the mind thinks there's some other shortcut, there's some other way. But the Shastra emphasizes again and again, there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. Just to bring us to this one-pointedness, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur emphasizes, there's nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds because my mind thinks there is. It wants to go to many places where? On Amazon.com.
Can I interject?
Yes.
I have a memory of a devotee that exemplified this prescription Prabhupada is giving. And when you asked, where were you in 1972 in February, I was in this body, so I was in San Francisco, and I was just getting ready to go back to Japan, and during that time I had almost a year and a half's association with Jayananda Prabhu, and every morning he sat, you know, before Mangal Arati, he sat in front of the altar, and he chanted his 16 rounds of japa, because during the daytime he was working pretty hard. And I just remember he would sit in one place and he would chant very loudly, and he wouldn't get up and walk around. He would rock back and forth to the side, and he was one-minded in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And he did the same thing every day, day in and day out.
So it can be done? That was a question.
Yeah, well, he could do it.
That means it can be done.
Yes.
Right. And then, we've seen it before, so this is possible. And if one prioritizes, if one hears the instructions, realizes that I would like to make spiritual advancement, I would like to see Krishna's form, understand his pastimes, I would like to have an unveiling in my life, that one might try this. One might actually apply oneself, being convinced that there's definitely something in this, and that it's in my highest self-interest to prioritize around this principle. As one of my godbrothers says, it's not time, it's taste. And one of the ways in the beginning that one will develop taste is by understanding what's in it for me. And by hearing about the efficacy of chanting one over again, over and over again, one may become convinced that this is the highest of activities, to take time every day to concentrate one-mindedly on the chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Now for review, and of course, there's a note I see at the bottom of the page, which I'm going to read to you, because the holy name is known to be ever fresh. Because Krishna is ever fresh, and he's non-different from his name, so his name is ever fresh. Have you ever heard that? So fresh means newly produced, not old, spoiled, etc., clean and pure. So the holy name is newly produced. Every time we utter the holy name, it's newly produced. It's not old or spoiled, etc. It's clean and pure. And also another meaning of fresh is having its original qualities unimpaired. Unimpaired. So here are the four instructions for your consideration. First is forced meditation. Yoga system is approved, but nobody can follow the rules and regulations strictly. Neither there is suitable place for executing it, and everyone is always full of anxiety. So how can they concentrate? So best thing is to chant Hare Krishna, which is forced meditation. Say forced meditation. Two, regarding your last question about the ecstatic symptoms of chanting Hare Krishna, you should know that the Hare Krishna mantra has an equal effect upon all devotees. Just like the sunshine has an equal effect on everyone, but when it is covered, the sunshine has a different effect. Similarly, the influence of the Hare Krishna mantra becomes manifest when one is no longer covered by the 10 offenses to chanting. The more we become free from the 10 offenses, the more the effect of chanting becomes manifested through us. Everyone can become a great devotee being freed from the offenses 100% simply by one's determination and effort. Three, when we chant, we must concentrate our mind on the sound vibration, and in that way, everything will be revealed one after another. The form, the qualities, pastimes, etc. of the Lord. And this is the way of cultivating spiritual realization. 4. The best remedy is to sit down very tightly and chant Hare Krishna very loudly and hear for a long time until he feels himself one-minded and fixed on Krishna's lotus feet. And pure means, or fresh means, newly produced, not old, spoiled, etc., clean and pure, having its original qualities unimpaired, and the holy name is ever fresh. And now we'll take a few reflections before we talk about, in part two, how to stay motivated even on a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day?
Yes.
Okay, you can stick around for that then. And for those of you who like to be preemptive, the second part of that is how to avoid having a bad day. Okay, reflections from part one. Yes.
This one is from Vishakha Leela Mataji. And she's submitting a verse as evidence to support what you have said.
She's not here. Oh, well, thank you.
I was just.
I mean, she is here now, so go ahead.
Do you want to read? Vishakha, you want to go ahead?
She's there, but I mean.
I was just reading this morning the Srimad Bhagavatam verse 3.27.21, which states one can get liberation by discharging devotional service and thereby hearing for a long time about the Lord or from the Lord. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that this serious devotional service can develop by hearing for long periods of time.
Now, tell me, which one of these 4 points does that one go with? Fourth part, and tell me the verse you just quoted, the number, all you coders out there.
3.27.21.
Say 3.27.21.
3.27.21.
It goes with point number 4. Okay, what else? You have to hear for a long time. So, organize your life around the principle of hearing for a long time. What's a long time? Until your mind becomes one-pointed, yes. Or you become one-minded, yes. So it means you really have to hang in there. In the beginning, when you're hearing or when you're chanting, your mind may wander. It will wander. However, one has to continue the process until one can feel one-minded and have that experience. It's very important. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Jivana hoy lo shesh nabajile hrishikesh. He said you're a living entity and it, you know, you have a tenuous existence, just like a little drop of water on a lotus. It can slide off at any time. He said, but you really haven't worshipped the Lord fully yet. So he said, Bhaktivinoda Upadesh. Here's my advice, he says. Ek bar nam arashe matore. He said, one time try to experience this intoxication that you can get from the holy name. This deep concentration on the name where you feel something. He said, try for that. You should go for that. Someone was up next. Yes. Vrinda Sevika.
Hare Krishna. It's so easy to know that only by concentration on the sound, when you're chanting loudly, everything will be revealed one by one. So nothing to worry that something is not coming, just sit, listen.
No need to go anywhere else.
Yes.
No need for the mind to search for...
imagine something.
For an angle. Just listen carefully. Concentrate on the sound of the holy name and everything will be revealed. One could try that, right? It's possible. You could try it. Okay, what else? Yes. 1, 2.
So Maharaj, when I was looking up the meaning of concentrate, and there was also a meaning from the perspective of liquids, the concentration of liquids.
Yes.
So he said you can increase the concentration of a liquid by removing the diluting agent.
Ah, there you have it. And which verse were you thinking of in terms of that?
Nashtu prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nashtiki.
Which generally means?
which generally means that, you know, if you're listening to the Krishna Katha, then all the impurities in your heart would gradually get removed. So those are the diluting agents that we're talking
about. Judges, if you accept it, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sounds like they barely accepted it. Okay, what other points do you have? Nice, that was very good.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can I ask a question?
Oh, yes, Govindacharan. With your old friend, Nandasuta. We would like to welcome my very close friend, Nandasuta Prabhu, who came all the way down here today from the great state of Washington. So please welcome Nandasuta Prabhu. I think the devotees here like you. Okay, Govindacharan Prabhu.
Prabhu, regarding the point on concentration, it's a question. We also hear that we should chant in a prayerful mode. So one question I'm having difficulty is, how do you pray and concentrate? It seems easy to try to do one of the two. But because when you pray, let's say if somebody is not well, or you know, you want to pray for welfare of devotees, or not to distribute more books, those words have to be meant. So when you do that, the ability to concentrate on the mantra goes away.
Yeah, it's a little different. Actually, you said chant in a prayerful mood, and having a prayerful mood is different from composing prayers while you're chanting or thinking of various prayers in your head. You can say some prayers before you chant, like articulate some prayers before you start chanting. For instance, there are many prayers in the Shastra through which you that glorify the holy name, and you might say those in order to prepare your mind. And prayerful mood is exhibited by Gajendra when he was calling out to the Lord. He had this feeling of complete desperation, that he needed help, and he was calling out in that way. And the mood of feeling helpless or fully dependent on the Lord, that isn't an artificial mood to have, because we are fully dependent. And he is our maintainer. And if one can realize one's existential condition, and while chanting, because Hare Krishna is a prayer, it's written in the vocative form, which means it's a prayer. And if you're saying it, the tone of your voice, the pitch is very important. The way you say something is always important. So the quality of chanting depends on this prayerful mood. And the tone is something we always notice. Has anybody ever told you a spouse or a parent or a friend or something, when you said something, and they might have said, "I don't like your tone"? Yeah? Yeah, you might say the right words, but you'll have the wrong tone. Like, Hare Krishna, you know, it's a different tone than Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. If I'm feeling like Krishna, I'm wrecked, I'm shipwrecked out here. I'm lost. You know, I always remember that Malaysian Airlines flight that went down and they got lost. I felt disoriented when I heard that story, because those people just went off the map. They were never heard from again, because the transponder in the black box stopped working and nobody could find them. And I was confounded by that story, thinking, when are they going to find them? And then I was chanting one day and I was thinking, when's anybody going to find me if I don't turn my transponder on? And the transponder really is our mood in which we're chanting. We're chanting in such a way that, I need help, please engage me in your service. I don't want to be serving mine. Kama dinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata mayin akarana natrapa no pashanti utsri jaitanata yarupate samprata labdapudis tamayata sharanam abayam mam niyunkshva madasye. This is a beautiful prayer of the devotees saying, I'm sick of being controlled by the bad masters of the senses. For how long have I done that? It's enough's enough. Like the mood, I've had it. No more. no more falling for the lower self again and again, as I've been doing in the material world. Say, now, Krishna, I'm calling out to you. Please engage me in your service. Please give me just some little service that will please you. And if you chant, Hare Krishna, like, Krishna, I have to have this. I have to have your shelter. That's prayerful mood. And that's highly effective. Looks like Nanda's about to say something.
I'm really agitated in my mind today, but I feel that having some difficulties or calamities around us all the time makes us more prayerful, and life is better that way. I mean, the lot of things we experience when we are in a like somber mood or grave mood or things are difficult for us. My experience has been that that's the best position to be in, because that connects me and then puts me in a more humble state of mind than really anything else. Because other than that, we act like we are the boss or lord of the nature and things so forth. Thank you.
Yeah, nice point. It's made by, as everyone well knows, by Queen Kunti. Says that the material life is a kind of intoxication, and she names the different ways. Janma Aishvara Shuta Shibir. I become intoxicated because of my stature in life, and I think I'm something. Prabhupada noted, everyone thinks like that. Even somebody who has a notably insignificant situation. Like he said, once when he was at Howrah Station, he saw a homeless person, and he had collected some half-burned firewood, and he was carrying it around like it was a prized possession, and thinking, you know, I have a high stature, I have some burned firewood. And everyone thinks that I have something. But Kunti says, you have to be akinchana gochara. You have to have this feeling, I don't have anything, I'm completely devoid of anything. And then call out, then Krishna will fulfill. Okay, a couple more, two more. So I have to tell you how to stay motivated even on a bad day and how to avoid having a bad day.
It's just the point that caught my attention was how Prabhupada says that the success depends on our effort and determination, and how the holy name works equally on everybody. So it makes me think that it's not a miracle. Like, we have to put our effort, and there is no point in envying others' spiritual progress, because it's their sincerity, effort, and determination. So that's very hopeful.
Yeah, it is a miracle, but we have to show up for it. You know, we have to prepare ourselves to receive the miracle and the grace that comes down from the holy name. As the Prabhupada mentions here, it acts equally on everybody, but it's my capacity to receive it that is hindering my ability to experience the full grandeur of the holy name, so one can be prepared. Was there one more? Yes.
I like the definition of concentration, that it's action and power. So when we chant also, like, I feel more tired because my mind is like running everywhere, and then bringing it back is like, you need real power to keep bringing it back.
Yeah. That is a special kind of power, yoga balena, to be able to focus the mind. And this is actually the sign that one is advancing in spiritual life. According to Jiva Goswami, there is no other sign other than one's power to continue hearing. And this is also mentioned by Kapiladeva. He says, Madshuta Guna Matrena, what's the verse? Just look it up. That one can judge one's advancement in spiritual life by the way that one's attracted to hearing and the power that one has to hear. And even the definition of nishta, or being fixed in spiritual life, it's a very clearly defined step in one's progress along the spiritual path. Nishta means to be fixed. And that fixity means to be free from various obstacles. And one of them is sleep. That I don't get sleepy when I chant, because my mind is so attracted to the, to hearing the holy name. I'm getting something from it, so it doesn't wander off into sleep. So that's one of the obstacles to steady practice of devotional service. And another one is distraction. Being subjected to distraction. And this is one of the features of Kali Yuga. It says, Prayanal Paisha Shavya Kalavasmin Yugejana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hupadrita. In the Iron Age of Kali, men have but short lives. They were quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, lazy for spiritual life, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. This is distraction. So it's called Vishepa. So one has to, when one has the power, spiritual power, to not be distracted, to be able to focus one's mind on spiritual practice, this is known as Nishta. And then there's obstacle, which is that one's not sleepy, you're wide awake, and there's absolutely no distraction whatsoever, but I'm just not interested at all. That's the third obstacle. The fourth obstacle, that's not the verse. The fourth obstacle is that one's innate bad qualities come out. They're down in there because of my contact with material nature. And the fifth obstacle is that my senses have a taste for material sense gratification. That becomes diminished when one has a spiritual advancement, comes to the stage of nishta or steadiness. And the sixth is, the sixth obstacle, did I name only five so far? The sixth is, 1 second, I have to remember an acronym. Laya Vishepa means? No, that's number three. What? Oh, there's only five. I lucked out. I'll give a pass on that one. Okay, so now we're moving to the next section, which is how to stay motivated even when on a bad day. So we may face the obstacles. We will face obstacles. They come from directions we can't even imagine where they're going to come from. And it may cause us to experience a bad day. Possible? Yes. Say yes. Yes. It's possible. Okay, so one thing to always keep in mind is that your main duty is to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. You don't have to be a big hero. You don't have to present yourself as an Uttama Adhikari or a Mahabhagavata. You don't have to do anything special, but what you do have to do is somehow or other stay alive in Krishna consciousness. That's your main duty. Because just as the son of a rich man has one duty, what's that duty? Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask him. Okay, it's to stay alive. Because, now you say, why the duty of a rich man is to stay alive. What is your name? Yeah. Gaurav. Welcome, Gaurav. Welcome, Gaurav. Gaurav, why is the duty of the son of rich man to stay alive? Why is that his main duty in life?
I don't know.
What happens when a rich man dies and he has a son? What kind of things happen?
All his belongings go to his son.
Yeah, he's rich, right? And so his money goes to
his son.
Yeah. So in the same way, our acharyas say that our main duty, because we're sons of Krishna, we're his expansions, we're his parts and parcels. He cares for us. And is there anybody richer than Krishna? Good answer. So nobody's richer than Krishna. And if we somehow or other learn to stay alive, you have to be inventive. It's not a stereotype process because everyone has their own complexities in life, right? Anybody complexities? No, if you compare complexities, you'll find, oh, you have that, I have part of that, but not that. Everyone has various combinations and permutations of complexities in life. You can compare notes later. And so the the ways and means for each person may be slightly different, but the main point is you have to find a way to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. And it may look unorthodox to some people. Some would say, you're not supposed to do that. It's like, this is how I'm staying alive. One way or another, you have to stay alive. Who says that? Where is that stated in Shastra? Am I making stuff up again? Or is this in Shastra somewhere? Yes? Mayapur's coming to my rescue here to prove I'm not making stuff up. Give him the mic quick.
No, say inheritance.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's where I'm giving this. This is the verse that says it. Tatte anukampam susamikshamana. That's 10:14:8, and the verse itself says at the end, sadaya bak, one who somehow or other stays alive in Krishna consciousness and accepts whatever happens. You don't freak out and say, you know, it's his fault, it's my fault, whatever. No, you do say it's my fault, but you accept whatever happens dispassionately. In my head, I thought of ways to deal with the complexities of life with two words, a method. It's methodically, but dispassionately. Methodically, but dispassionately. In other words, you deal with whatever comes up. You do it methodically because it's your duty. You have to deal with it. But you should do it dispassionately because you understand this is simply coming as my past karma. So if one can go through one's life and simply understand that, look, it, I ran up a bill and, you know, now I'm paying part of it off. Krishna has reduced it. I owed $10 billion for running out in 10,000 restaurants. And now I have to pay the bill, but Krishna reduced it to $100. So that's all I have to pay in this life. Whenever I get some adversity, I'm just paying my bill of what I created in my past life. And if one stays engaged throughout life, no matter what the adversities or complexities, somehow or other, then sadaya bak, one becomes an inheritor of the kingdom of God. And that's why Sridhar Swami, commenting on this verse, says one should stay alive somehow or other in Krishna consciousness. And what I was looking for was a statement from Rupa Goswami. He says, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat. The general translation that Prabhupada gives is, never mind the rules and regulations. Just fix your mind on Krishna. As soon as you become Krishna conscious, the regulative principles will become your servants. So the point is, yena tena, one way or another, however you can do it, keep fixed on Krishna. For instance, there's five very powerful processes of devotional service. One of them is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Could you figure out a way to stay close to hearing the Bhagavatam? Would it be possible to do that? Three people said yes. Okay, yeah. Let's interview only those three people. Everyone else, cover your ears and eyes. No. Okay, is it possible to say, but how would you do it practically to stay close to the Bhagavatam? Give me some very practical advice and detailed. Yes? Prakashori's come alive upon hearing this.
One option is to carry the in audio format in your iPad or everywhere.
That's practical. Is it available?
Yes. It's
is it hard to get?
Easy to get.
Okay, so there it is. It's available and easy to get. Could one somehow or other hear the Bhagavatam? What if you don't have a thing to play it on? What do you do then?
Carry the book.
Or carry the book, or maybe you get something to play it on.
Yes.
Is that hard? Beg, borrow, steal. I mean, people throw away their iPhones every 2 months. They just stand out somebody's window and catch one as they, when the new iPhone comes out, you're just like, oh, thanks, you know? And then get that. Prakashori's got one. Pass the mic.
My mom kind of stole mine, but my old school way, I guess, of doing it is, in my car, I have the whole CD version of it, and I hear the whole thing over and over and over again. So I think that's how I originally got the taste to hear it with my mother.
Yeah, we stayed in the home of some very advanced Vaishnavs, Shankar Anand and Govindapriya, up in Sacramento. They have a laptop on which For the last, I think they said 20 or 25 years, the same laptop. It's never stopped. And they have playing on it the recitation of the Bhagavatam and a few kirtan stuff, but it's always playing in their house somewhere. It constantly goes on. So there. Then you can carry the book as an example. I'll weigh in on this one. I carry my Bhagavatam with me in my wherever I go, in my bag, if I'm on the plane or I'm in the car. Satyadeva Prabhu kindly drove down, so I read the Bhagavatam to him. And we heard some very powerful words on just on the way down here. A simple drive down, didn't we, Satya? It was ecstatic. We didn't even want to stop. It was so nice. You might just miss the exit and keep going. So it's possible to keep close to the Bhagavatam. And then there's chanting Hare Krishna. That's another thing. Can you stay close to chanting Hare Krishna? Is that possible? Yeah. You can organize your life so that you chant Hare Krishna. Then there's association with devotees. Make choices so that you can be closer to devotees, because by sadhu sangha you make advancement. And then there's visiting holy places. Oh, we have Hansapriya.
I was just going to say that my sister, she got something from Vrindavan, like a 50 rupee thing. And she has just plugged into the wall, and it chants the Prabhupada chanting the whole all day long.
Yeah, you can do that. And organize your environment so that you can have the vibration coming in. I personally like to spend a little more than 50 rupees because the little boxes are like... Ring, ring, ring. But, you know, whatever way you have to do it, stay close. So... first one is stay alive somehow or other. Find out a way, invent a way to stay alive somehow or other. That means when you're having a bad day, you then have to think, what do I have to do? Don't try to rise to the highest consciousness or something, but just try to stay alive in Krishna consciousness. And if you just do that one thing, think, what do I have to do to stay alive in my Krishna consciousness? Then that bad day will become an auspicious day. And the second one is to read the Bhagavatam 1.5.14, 1.5.14, and other such wisdom. So if you read this when you're having a bad day, you'll realize why you're having a bad day, and then you'll turn yourself around. And what does it say, 1.5.14? Let's see the translation. Whatever you desire to describe that is separate and vision from the Lord simply reacts with different forms, names, and results to agitate the mind as the wind agitates a boat which has no resting place. I might wonder, why is my mind so agitated? That's why I'm having a bad day. And you'll think, I'm describing and hearing things that are separate and vision from the Lord, so I need some resort, I need some place to go, some solace to hear the transcendental vibration. And if you remember this wisdom, the wisdom in this verse, and there are many others, you can pick them out and make sure you're able to take shelter of them. I have a verse from the third canto, Mukharvin, what's the verse number? Maharaj Prithu, after the horses were stolen. And he said that, and he says, Brahma says to Maharaj Prithu that don't try to fix what's providential because you'll be plunged into deeper and deeper anxiety. That's a verse I keep for really bad days. And when I have a really... anyone here ever have a really bad day? Yes. 3 or 4 people.
Yes.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so some of us have had a really bad day. Here's a verse and a purport. You got it? 4, 19, 34. Everyone say. 4, 19, 34. Is that correct? Okay, I'm going to read this and then we'll read the purport together. This is a verse you can have tattooed on your arm if you like. No, don't do that. But have a put it on a card. Put it on your car. Put it somewhere. Keep it. And this is medicine you can pull out when you're having a bad day. Now, actually, this is for a really bad day. Are you ready? Anybody having a really bad day? Nanda Sutta. This one's for you. he's having a really bad day. It's because there was a loss in one of his best friends. My dear king, do not be agitated and anxious because your sacrifices have not been properly executed due to providential impediments. Kindly take my words with great respect. We should always remember that if something happens by providential arrangement, we should not be very sorry. The more we try to rectify such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest region of materialistic thought. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. Such incidents should be taken as providential. Although there may be sufficient cause for being unhappy, one should avoid counteracting such reversals. For the more we become implicated in rectifying such reversals, the more we enter into the darkest regions of material anxiety. Lord Krishna has also advised us in this connection, we should tolerate things instead of becoming agitated. So this is a verse you can keep on the ready when you have some reversal of fortune at any time. And this will help bring you out of your bad day. Next is, when you're having a bad day, remember what you've done already in this life. Because there's a tendency when you're very progressive in your life, very progressive spiritual people like all of you, to always be forward-looking. Now, I'm always looking to what I have to do next and what I haven't achieved yet. Possible? Yeah. But at some point, we have to remind ourselves of what we've done already. For instance, there's a verse that Kitapriya knows from the Sri Upanishad, in which the person praying is saying to the Lord, please remember all I've done for you. Where's some of the other kids? Well, hardly a kid, but go ahead and tell us the verse. Verse number 17 from the Sri Upanishad. Well, now it's right there, but go right ahead. Oh, okay, go ahead. That's not the verse you had in mind? Okay. But isn't this the verse when he says, please remember all I've done for you? Try it.
Vairanilam amritam atedam basmantam shariram om kato smara kritam smara kato smara kritam smara. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you.
So you can, on a bad day, you can remember, well, you know, what are some of the things that have happened to you in your life spiritually that you can remember that are great assets that you may have forgotten, but you can bring them out right now? Pass the mic. I want to hear some specific things. And don't give me any boring generalizations. I don't want to hear, I chanted Hare Krishna one time. I want to hear specifics. Like Satyadev told about, he knew Jayananda. It was 1972. That's specific. It's a person. He knew his name. That's specific. He told exactly what he did. Something like that. Otherwise, you'll get a D+. Okay, go ahead. Assets, spiritual things that have happened. Go ahead. Are we down to one mic now? Or are there several more out there somewhere? Two, three, okay, go ahead.
Maharaj still is hearing, but I don't know, somehow it was very different when first time when I heard Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna tune, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's still that, that is in my memory, 2006 is around sometime December.
Where were you?
I was in Warangal.
Where?
Warangal, doing my bachelor's.
Where is that?
Andhra Pradesh.
Varanga. That's a place in India?
Yeah.
You were in Varangal. Varangal. And how did you hear that? Was it in a temple?
Yeah, so some devotees invited me to the place where they are having some meetings about Bhagavad Gita, and So that as soon as I entered that that box, that
was the box.
That was a box that was constantly playing.
50 rupee box.
50 rupees box. Yes.
So it's probably more like 500 now, anyway. But okay.
So that was playing, and I can see that I feel that I came to home. That sound was so soothing.
That
to
brought you home.
Yeah.
It's in you. That's an asset to remember on a bad day. So look, okay, things are going bad, but look at that's one asset. I have thousands of them. What else? I want specifics. Yes.
I remember in 2015 when I came, it was some festival, I think, for Mangal Arati, first time.
First time Mangal Arati.
Yes, and that was so amazing. And when something like some difficulties in life, then I remember if you wake up early and chant early, and especially if you come to the temple, so then everything goes very smoothly and you have more energy.
This is a great asset that you have because you remember the formula for actually being happy in life. Get up early, chant Hare Krishna, worship Tulsi Devi, see the deities, and then you're set, right? Okay, three more. Oh, okay, one, two, three, four. Go ahead, one, two, three, four.
The opportunity to do corporate preaching with you, and I feel it's a great.
I would say, as they say in Japanese, kochira koso. Same back to you. It's so sweet. We have such a great time driving back and forth together and being in it. Go ahead.
So that's a great asset, which is so inspirational, and that I can, think it as a blessings. And
thanks for bringing that up. Just by you bringing it up, I felt lifted to remember that I have that in my life. I can forget easily and just think, my life, there's so many complications and combinations and permutations of complications. Everything looks bleak. And then you can remember, I have a friend in Krishna consciousness. I have, I have a program that I get to go to and remember what it's like. And that's one amongst many things, that assets that we have.
I remember the first time I went to Mayapur to see the deities, and it was very inspirational. I still remember that.
What year was that?
Seeing it was in 2006.
2006, and you walked in the temple.
Yes.
And which deities did you see first?
Seeing Panchatattva.
Panchatattva first.
Yeah.
Which door did you come in the temple?
From the front door, right.
Front door, and you just straight ahead. And you saw, yes, Panchatattva. Then what'd you do?
I was just amazed seeing the. I always saw the photos, but seeing first time, being in front of it first time, it was like. It got a feeling of awe and reverence seeing
it. It filled you up.
Yeah.
It was an impact.
Yes.
Okay, good. You've got that asset forever.
Actually, I was just remembering one today when we were singing Nadia Nagari Nitaintinagari, and it just drove me back to your home in 2000, and when we used to have Satyadev Shila, and I think Malini had just barely came into ISV, and Kameshwari had got married and came to your home for first time, and we remember that we had that chanting at that day. It was so enthusiastic, and your Gornitai deities and that prasadam, the sweet mood, the vibration that was in the air.
Yeah, it's something to remember. It was so every Friday, right?
Every Friday.
We all get together and we chant these, and the devotees would just feel so happy. And then there was prasadam and everything. That's in.
Small place, but so crowded, but so much work.
Yeah, we had to cram everybody in. We'd like push them in the door so they could fit. Yes, Damodar.
I think my Krishna consciousness started somewhere around 2014, 3rd of January, actually. And I have a very, very clear memory, as if, I can just visualize even now, till date, this moment. And it was, my father had supposed to have a bypass surgery, and I took 2 months of vacation to take care of him in India. And then when the surgery was done, 3 days you cannot see the patient. And one of my friend here, her brother is a devotee, she said, just go and meet him. And when I told my mummy that anyway I'm here free 3 days, let me go and meet, she allowed. And this person called me into an ashram in Delhi. And when I met, he said, what are you doing? I said, I am free. He said, okay, are you free tomorrow? I said, yes. I'll take you to some place. I said, okay. I went next day. He took me to Vrindavan. And I had zero idea of what is Vrindavan, knowing that it's a place of Krishna. And he took me to Srila Prabhupada's apartment. And first time I saw the deity of Srila Prabhupada there in the main, besides his bed. And I had huge experiences. And, you know, I can't believe Srila Prabhupada. Like, he was writing there. And the whole trip was like, I'm not sure what has happened to me in that day, correct? And then one thing led to another, and many incidences after that. Like, same thing, the same Prabhu, Keshavananda, he took me to Mayapur. So he induced me to chant one round of Hare Krishna. It was God Punima. And then he said, okay, Deepak, what you are doing? I said, I chant one round. He said, okay, today you chant 16 rounds. And, you know, this was again 2005. And Gaur Purnima, and that day I chanted 16 rounds and not have any problem from that day onwards till now. So, and that day was very special because the Abhishekam was happening of Mahaprabhu. They do it in the open place, and after the Abhishekam, I was just standing, and then when they were taking the Utsav deities inside, somehow one of the pujari said, "Hey man, come on." And then they were taking it in a palanquin, and I was asked to carry Mahaprabhu, and I say, oh Krishna, what is all these things? So there are like tens of events which are like still so fresh. And one thing which I say which is very relevant in my current context is when I quit Apple, I was, you know, very inspired that, you know, the world is under, you know, I've done enough. Money is there, power is there, I will crack it. And very soon I realized it was an illusion. Yeah? But one thing which kept me alive was I very quickly realized that things are fleeting away. How I can get engaged is do my sadhana better. So from February 2015 till I think May 2016, I got engaged in a lot of preaching. First of all, you know, reading more books, setting up San Bruno, whatever, Saratoga, etc., etc. And one thing it encouraged me was I said, Prabhupada, whatever, you know, use me in your service. And I will keep myself engaged. Rather than thinking about this and that, I will try to spend in devotional life. And miracles happened actually. And that's my personal realization that when the day is bad, try to devote the day in devotional service. And things just, like whatever pressures I went into, if a normal person would have gone through, I am sure they would have either had a heart attack, suicide or whatever. But I was so blissful in the entire, you know, 2-3 years with me. So that has been a elixir which I tasted myself, and it works. So please follow that thing. And because it's going to happen. Post 40, corporate life in America is very troublesome. You will go through that. So take that medicine which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given. And it's, I'm telling you from my experience, I think my happiness index in life is very high because of somehow Prabhupada coming in my life. Thank you.
So celebrate things you've done so far when you're having a bad day. Think back and think, I have these assets no matter what else happens. And how to avoid having a bad day in the first place. I'm going to go through the list quickly and we can discuss it another time. But you should keep your bad day emergency list nearby, the ones I just mentioned. Keep it, if you need it, pull it out in case of emergency. Also, build a support team so you always know that you have support around you from those who have the wherewithal to give you mentorship. Start your day with a small success. Spiritual success. Because if you start in that way, then it'll build momentum so that you'll be able to stay in the spiritual flow. Always plan your day ahead of time. Don't leave it to chance, whatever your mind decides to do. Satisfy the senses of the Lord. Whenever you're thinking, I'm morose, I'm unhappy, I'm unfortunate, then think, how can I satisfy Krishna's senses? And by satisfying Krishna's senses, then you'll naturally feel satisfied because we're part and parcel of Krishna. And finally, whenever you're whenever you have the opportunity, describe the glories of the Lord. This was the prescription that Narada Muni gave to Narada in order to rise above moroseness. He said, you have to directly describe the glories of the Lord. So these are all practical, and they're from the Shastra, and you can utilize them to stay above the fray of the material world. Go premanane haribo. Nacharyar Marman. Hey, Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman. Nacharyar Marman.